Carrie called me actually last year to come and speak, and it just wasn't good timing with me about to have a baby. And so when she called me this year and she told me what the title of this, the conference was in the waiting, I didn't exactly know that this week I would need that, and I would need what the Lord has placed on my heart to talk about. And so I've been emotional this week, and even this morning. It's been a tough week for my family. I've had a sick child this week. I have a close family member that had surgery on Wednesday and has cancer and having to deal with that. And then a loved one who died on Thursday of cancer. And so it's just been a week. But you know how that's what the way the enemy works. And so when she asked me to speak, I knew, I started praying, what did God want me to speak about? And the thing that kept coming to my mind was prayer. And I just kept, it just kept coming over and over again, just kind of confirming that to me. In the past 15 years, I really believe that for my own life, that He has given me more of a passion for prayer, and is something that I've just become just wanting to learn more about and to engage in my own life, making that more of a priority. So I'm just going to share with you a few things, not anything that you haven't ever heard, I don't believe, but hopefully will just be something to maybe just remind you of some things. The first thing is that I hope that all of us will have that yearning for Jesus, that you'll spend time with the Lord every day, and that you will be in His Word and in prayer. There's a verse that I used to pray every morning that says, "The Lord confides in those who fear Him." I want the Lord to confide in me. And so I would pray that every morning, that the Lord confides in those who fear Him. And I want to fear Him so that He will confide in me. And so I just kind of started this journey of just being in my secret place and using that as a time, obviously, just with my devotion and reading the Bible and praying. And just started just making a list of people to pray for. And as I was reading, there would be a scripture verse that would come up. And I would think, oh, that's something that I can pray for so-and-so. Or that's something I need to tell so-and-so. And there's lots of times that the Lord would just give me a word. And that I would start praying that over those specific people. And do you know how you get to do that? You got to be in the Word. You got to be praying, and you have to be in tune with the Spirit. And I'm just telling you, we are in a battlefield. Like, we are in a war, and the enemy wants your children. The enemy wants your life. The enemy wants our churches. The enemy wants our country. We have to be on our knees. We have to be praying. We have got to get back to where we can fight that battle. And we're going to be able to do that through prayer. And so my question is, do you have a longing for Jesus? Like, do you have that desire to truly want to spend time in His Word and to be praying? Not too long ago, there was a verse that I was reading, Micah 7:8, and it says, "Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord is my light." And I'm a director of a ministry called Christian Women's Job Corps. And what we do is we teach classes to women to help them get jobs. And one of the ladies that was in my group was in recovery. Well, don't you know, that morning I walked in and I said, I have a word for you. And I said, this is what you need to stand on. And you tell the enemy every day, do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. I will rise. And if you have a prodigal child and you have one that is doing well, and there's your verse right there that you can start praying for that child. Some days you get in your secret place and you don't even know what to say. And sometimes you just need to say Jesus. Just say Jesus. And just keep praising him. Keep praising him. I listen to Jim Cimbala a lot. He's the pastor at the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York. And he a group come in that was singing. And they were singing the doxology. And then they kind of added a couple of lines to it. And it said, and I don't sing very well, so I won't sing it for you, but it says, there is a breaking in my favor. There is a shifting in my direction. There is a breaking in my favor as I praise. And let me tell you something, I've been singing that a lot, because on days that you don't feel like you can say much, or you don't even know what to say or what to do, you just praise Jesus, and I'm going to tell you, there will be a breaking in your favor, and there will be a shifting in your direction. And so if you will praise him, then God will move. And so you just be faithful in that. But just having just that yearning, that desire to spend time in his word every day. The second thing, and this is really, really my heart, and I think this is one of the things that Jan and I kind of talked about a lot, is just the idea of meeting together to pray. And there's power in prayer. And it's really kind of neat for me, but one of my students that was in my student ministry is actually here and goes to y'all's church. And so I was talking to her, so she's probably heard some of this stuff that I'm talking about today. But one of the things that I did while I was at Gardendale, I just really felt led. There was a strong group of freshmen that were in high school, and their parents were very active, supportive in our ministry. And so I started a prayer group for those moms. And we met every week. No, not every week. We met every month. And we just prayed for their children, their freshman children. Well, we ended up doing that all the way through them graduating high school. And so we spent time every month just praying for whatever was going on. It was a small community, so everybody knew when prom was and exams. It was all the same time. And so we would pray for those things. And it was incredible to watch them grow spiritually, being in that group together and praying in the closeness that comes from that. And I'm telling you, we went through a book by Stormy Ann Martin called Praying for Your Children. And so we walked through that every month, just different chapters, and praying, and me trying to teach them how to pray for their children. And I'm telling you, when I prayed for them, I started with their husbands. And I prayed for their husbands, I prayed for the dads of those children, and then I prayed for the moms, and then I prayed for those children, and starting at the head. And then also, I had another group that I met with, and it's really my heart, and which is kind of crazy, but I have a heart for addicts and their families, and so I met with a group that had prodigals, and so we met a group of moms, met once a week, and we prayed for their prodigal children. And you talking about bringing the house down, These women knew how to pray, and they taught me how to pray because they were desperate, and they were desperate for God to move. And so every week they would come in, and they would share what they had learned or something, that a word that God had given them, and that we would start praying for that, for their children. And these were grown children. Like, all of them were out of high school, so they were older. But we were just praying for them. But one in Luke 5:17, I'm going to read this to you. It says, "One day as he was teaching, the Pharisees and teachers of law, who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, was sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him to the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, 'Friend, your sins are forgiven.' The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, 'Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, 'Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins.' He said to the paralyzed man, 'I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home.' Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, 'We have seen remarkable things done today.'" Well, our group became known as the Stretcher Bearers, because sometimes you just need somebody to put you on a stretcher, put you on a mat, and lift you through the roof so that you can see Jesus. And when you're in a situation like these women were, they were desperate for God to move, and they were desperate to find Jesus and for their children to find Jesus. And so we surrounded each other with love and encouragement, and several of them were single moms, widows, who didn't have anybody else to talk to. And so it was so neat how we could feed off of each other, of helping each other during this time. And so, and even there were seasons of that we would pray and fast during the day. And so we'd fast during the day and pray at night as another spiritual discipline, in a way, for God to move in our group. And so, just to encourage you, we are not meant to walk through life alone. Isolation is a tool of the enemy, and we are meant for community. And so there's kind of these buzzwords kind of going around about your tribe and who's your squad, and you know, and so my question is who's in your tribe? Who is your tribe? Who is your squad? Who is your community? Who can you get together with and pray in numbers that God can move in your situation? And whether it's a good situation like this freshman group of parents and moms who were meeting to pray for their children as they were going through school, or if it's prodigals that are meeting, you know, moms that are meeting together to pray for their children. My stretcher bearer group is praying for me right now. I sent them a message this morning and told them, I said, I'm talking about you today, and so I need you to pray. And so they all sent me a message back, you know, and saying that they were praying. And so just an encouragement as to you is to find a group of people that you can pray for and pray with, and it's always good to do life in numbers with other people in community, and just to have other people that can kind of help you along this process. And it was kind of a funny thing it was kind of like, well, we don't want to be part of that group. But you never know what journey that the Lord allows you to go through, and sometimes you don't ask for that journey. My friend Heather's here today, and she didn't ask for the journey that she was given. Walking through her cancer. She didn't ask for that. But she has battled, and she's in remission. So she knows what that's for. Absolutely. Absolutely. She knows what the waiting's all about. She knows that. And I think for all of us, there's just as Carrie was talking about earlier, we're always waiting for something. There's always something we have to wait for. But what are we going to do in the waiting? What are we going to do in the waiting? And I think that's just the thing that that, you know, that just keeps coming to my mind, is that we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. And just be faithful in that. And people, you know, sometimes it's hard to say, well, I don't know what I need to pray for, or how I need to pray. Well, let me tell you something. If you don't know what to pray for, I can give you a list of things to pray for. And I got a book right here of a whole list of people you can pray for, including myself. But hey, start with our president. Whether you like him or not, he's in authority right now. We need to be covering him in prayer, and his family in prayer, and the people that are underneath him, and our governor, and, you know, just our political offices is where you can start. I'm sure Lori Reed would appreciate any kind of prayer she can get, being a school teacher and being in school. So our schools need our prayer, our churches, our pastor. I'm sure Brother Frank would appreciate your prayers as well. And so praying for your children, your grandchildren. I mean, there are so many things that you can pray for. The one thing that people say, you know, is, I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. Well, I have some resources that I can give you if you're interested. But there is a lady who, her name is Sylvia Gunner, who has a lot of prayer. It's called Prayer Portions, or these books. And she has written out prayer scripture verses of praying for everything under the sun that you could think of to pray for. And so that would be a great tool to help you in praying. But I'll tell you this, the Lord gives us the Holy Spirit, and he can tell us things that we need to pray for, and how to pray. But I'll tell you this, I learned how to pray by watching people pray. And so I would encourage you, surround yourself with people that know how to pray, and you'll learn a lot from that. One of the ladies that was in my ministry, that was going through our program, we have a prayer blessing before we have our meals, and she said, I want to say the blessing today. And this has been a couple weeks into our session, and I said, okay. Well, she said, God is great, God is good. Now, this is a 30-something, 40-year-old lady, and that was her prayer. And I said, you know what? I said, that is great. That was a great prayer. I was so proud of her. Do you know, a couple weeks later, she called me, or no, she asked me, she said, can I say the blessing again? And let me tell you something. Her prayer had grown from that to something else. Do you know why? Because she had been hearing the people around her pray. And so she knew how to pray because she'd been listening to the people around her. Surround yourself with people that know how to pray. And you'll hopefully rub off on you. And you will learn how to pray. Pray scripture. Get in the word and learn how to pray scripture. Claim scripture over your children, over your family, over different situations in your life. Before my little girl was born, my prayer, my scripture verse for her was in Chronicles, that talks about the eyes of the Lord go to and fro looking for one whose heart is whole towards him. And that's my prayer. I want to be that one. I want to be that one that's heart is whole towards him, but I want her heart to be whole towards him. And that's my prayer. And we discussed these at our baby dedication. And the other one is, the king is enthralled with your beauty, so honor him, for he is your Lord. In today's society, where it's your self-worth and self-esteem is, you know, people struggle with that so much, especially women and girls. I want so much her to know that the king is enthralled with her beauty. and I want her to honor him because he is our Lord. And so that those are two of the scripture that I'm praying over my little girl, and she's not even one yet. And so already praying those things over her life. My friend Mary, who died about 6 years ago from cancer, and people would tell her all the time, "I wish I could pray like you. I wish I could pray like you." And she said, "If you've been where I've been, you'd know how to pray." She said, "I'm desperate." She said, "I've been desperate." She's a widow, raising a 13-year-old son at the time who was rebellious. And she said, I had to learn how to pray. She said, "I was desperate." And when you're desperate, you learn how to pray. And so, and she said, "I'd gladly let you have this. If you want this journey, you can gladly have it." But I don't know if this will stay on. But yeah, so that was my friend, just praying, asking God, you know, to do a work in her heart as she learned how to pray as well, and how people taught her how to pray and how she taught so many how to pray as well. One of the things, one more thing that I want to share with you is that is to be, and Lori mentioned this earlier, is to be persistent. If you've been waiting for years, keep waiting. I mean, you know, don't give up. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. God hears your prayers. Luke 18, there's a story about the parable of the persistent widow. It says, I'm going to read this to you. It says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time, he refused. But finally, he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" Keep praying, keep asking. People tell me all the time, I tell God the same thing. It doesn't matter. Keep praying, keep praying, keep asking. Do not give up. We have no idea. Every one of these that are in my group that we've prayed, and their kids are alive. Now, they may not all be doing the best, but they're alive. You know why they're alive? Because their mamas are praying for them. And I believe that there's a special place for those mamas' prayers. And so keep praying. Don't give up. Be persistent. I want to share with you something that that Stormy O'Martin wrote in one of her books, and it's about the prophet Zechariah. And he was a prophet that was given a word from God to Zerubbabel, who was the governor of Judah and was responsible for rebuilding the temple. And Zechariah said that the rebuilding would not be accomplished by human power or the force of an army, but by God's Holy Spirit empowering them. God said it would happen not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. God then instructed Zerubbabel to speak grace to the mountain, the mountain being the hindrance of Satan, who opposed anyone trying to rebuild the temple. The Lord went on to say, "Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth a capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it." In other words, the rebuilding of the temple would happen not because of human strength or ability, but because of the grace of God. Zerubbabel was to speak the grace of God to the situation. We too can speak grace to our mountain of obstacles. And sometimes we have to shout grace to these mountains. And sometimes we just have to say, Lord, I shout grace to this mountain. Bring it down so it has no power. And I, this morning, have sat right there, and I've had tears in my eyes all morning, I think, just because in my own life, just experiencing some waiting and really having to apply what you teach, and applying that this week of just really having to pray and to believe God in the waiting times of our lives. And there are some of you who I know who are waiting for your husband to get saved, or a child to get saved, or a child to come back to the Lord, or you're praying for your marriage. There's some people that I know that have a top 10 list of people that they're, top 10 most wanted people that they're praying for to come to Christ. Hey, he's coming back soon. We better be ready. And your loved ones better be ready. The people that you love, you better be telling Jesus about Jesus to somebody every day, because he's coming back. But are we ready for that? But until he comes back, what are we doing? What are we doing? And one of the ladies that sent my text back, she said, tell them that it's warfare. It's warfare. And I said, it is, it is. But we have to fight. We have to fight. And so today you may have somebody that you are, that you're praying for and have been praying for a long time, or a situation that you've been praying for, or an illness that you've been praying for. You know, I don't know your situation, but you do. And I just pray that today that God would just help you just to maybe your first step is to admit, hey, I got some stuff going on in my life, and I need to be real about that. I need somebody to pray for me. And that's just being honest. And I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not very good at that at all, of admitting, hey, I need some prayer. But you know what? Sometimes we just need that. We need somebody to pray for us. And so that's one thing maybe today that you just need to say, admit, hey, I need prayer. Or maybe you have a mountain that you need to speak grace to, or you have a mountain that you need to shout grace to. And so I just encourage you that not to wait until the end. But if God is just speaking to you, and God, that come to this altar and go ahead and do business with him, or allow people to love on you and to pray for you and to encourage you, even now as Lori and them, they're coming back to sing, not to wait, to shout grace to your mountain and see what God does.